for Fuquan Bilal, CEO of the NNG Capital Fund. He still remembers the 2008 housing market crash like it was yesterday.
I came home and me and my wife actually was in our room and she had the news on and she was like, oh my God, do you see what's happening in the market? This is crazy. Brokers were calling me saying, hey, the deal is not going to close. The bank pulled out. I'm like, what is going on? And then overnight, boom, the lights just went out just like that.
I was like, the rug got pulled from under my feet. The bank stopped lending. I had deals literally at the closing table lined up to close and all the funding got pulled. So when they stopped funding the closing, my business was on standstill.
You took all the losses.
$2 million.
Of your own money out the door.
Absolutely.
Welcome to The Unshakeables from Chase for Business and Ruby Studio from iHeartMedia. I'm Ben Walter, CEO of Chase for Business.
And I'm Tanya Nebo, a lawyer and consultant for business owners.
We're sharing the daring stories of small business owners facing their crisis points and telling the stories of how they got through it. Hey, Tanya.
Hey, Ben.
I think today's episode is really inspirational. There's so much to learn from Fuquan, how he's persevered in life and in business, and how he's using his company to give back to his community.
Can't wait to hear this one.
On today's episode, NNG Capital Fund from Newark, New Jersey. Now, here's a little behind the scenes about the show for you. We recorded a lot of this in New York City, but Fuquan is from Newark, which is only about 30 minutes west of here. Now, the Newark from when Fuquan was growing up, it looked a lot different than it does today.
If you can remember early 80s, it was a lot of drugs in the area. You walk out your door, there's crack bottles, dope syringes. But we were sheltered from that, from my mom putting us in private schools. My mom was a single mom of five kids. When I grew up, remember having candlelight dinners because the power's out, having no electricity.
Fuquan's mother had cleared a safe path for her children. And while he didn't fully realize it at the time, she'd also given him the foundations to one day start his own company.
When we were younger, my mom would take us to Chinatown to get the scarves, hats, gloves, and then we would go back to Newark at the bazaar and we would sell them. Me and my younger brother would sit there and sell items from the table. And every $100 worth of items we sold, we would get $25.
And pretty good margins.
Yeah. Well, she would split the profits with us 50%, and I loved it.
Fuquan knew he liked talking to people, but he didn't think a ton about starting a company someday. For him, it was more about making money.
My first real sales job was in telemarketing. And that's when I learned what they say, you have the gift of gab. So within 6 months, I went from starting on the phone making minimum wage to having the night shift as a manager to being a director of sales for this company.
But he saw a cousin of his, an arch nemesis, his words, not mine, making a ton of money working solely for himself.
He was started off in real estate before me. And I remember him doing a deal and making like $40,000, $50,000, something like that. And he was like, I make more than you and you working for the man and everything else. So I started to shadow him around and speak to contractors. And I was like, wow, this is really great.
So Fuquan quit his job and started working at his cousin's business full time. His role was to consult with prospective homeowners and build a network of potential buyers. To get people in the door, he would hand out flyers for free seminars where he'd teach aspiring homeowners about how to qualify for loans and earn passive income from rental properties. It made him feel good to pass along what he had learned about real estate from his cousin to his own community.
We was never taught financial literacy where I grew up at, let alone, you know, how to qualify for a home, right? It was only for middle class and upper class people. So being able to do that value add and give that back to the community from education I knew. And nobody was doing that. Nobody was coming to the hood, so to speak, and educating people on how they can get a foot in and get a leg up. So it felt good. That was what gave me my feeling of importance, educating the community on what they can do to have financial freedom.
And his seminars, they were working. He was helping dozens of people learn how to become first-time homebuyers and passing along those connections to his network of realtors and loan officers. And timing was on his side. Around this time, banks had made it really easy for folks of all financial backgrounds to qualify for loans.
The banks were literally approving any and everybody, so it made it easier for people to qualify. So you would actually go out to a seminar and educate people, and then people would take the leap forward and take action, and then that would spread like wildfire.
He was also helping his cousin's company fix up and flip properties for profit. He focused on reinvesting in his own community, Newark, New Jersey, where he grew up.
How did you make that happen in a way that was sustainable?
There were a lot of dilapidated properties, a lot of burnt out properties, vacant properties. and it was just a war zone pretty much. So being able to start going and repair properties block by block and bringing the community back gave us an opportunity for the town to get properties back on the tax roll and give the residents a better place to live.
And it wasn't just properties. Fuquan also gave formerly incarcerated people jobs that they usually couldn't get.
Growing up in Newark, these were the people that were in my community, friends and family members, of course, who ran the streets and got involved with the wrong thing. And I know these were good people, right? There's good people in bad areas. They just get caught up from what's happening in the community. So for me, it was an opportunity to kind of throw the lifeboat in, right? So hiring these people gave them more of a chance to be employed, first of all, and have the confidence that they actually can do something besides being in the street doing the wrong thing.
After a few years, Fuquan and the business were doing great. They had a solid customer base, they were giving back to their community, and they were financially stable. Fuquan was riding high until one day something happened that changed the direction of his life forever.
So it was my cousin's birthday, and the day before we were actually visiting a lot of construction sites, and we were talking about a celebration party he was going to have the next day. Then the next day came, and he came to the office and said, you know what, I'm not going to work the full day, let's make payroll early. So we did that. He left for the day, and I stayed to work. And then I saw someone just walk past the office, and I'm like, well, we're closed today, who can this be? And I saw this shadow walk past the door, and I got out to approach the person to figure out, you know, who they were looking for. And by the time I walked out the door, the gentleman was turning back around, and I said to him, hey, who are you looking for? And the guy turned around, I'm looking for you. Boom, 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 boom. Shot me 5 times.
Oh, my God.
And I had to play dead, actually, for him to actually stop shooting. I, like, laid on my back, and then he ran off out the door. And it was such a rush, I was able to jump up because the adrenaline was going and dial 911. I just remember being in the back of the ambulance and going to a university hospital.
The surgery was extensive, and after he was stitched back up, Fuquan was in the hospital for a week. He went home, and that's where he stayed for the next 6 months while he recovered.
For me, it was at 6 months of healing. It was a lot of self-searching and just went more deeper within, kind of separated myself from a lot of different people and figure out how can I add more value to my life and started to build the journey from there.
For most people, it would have been very easy and certainly understandable to slip into why me, why now self-pity. But not Fuquan.
I think that was the best thing that happened to me.
Oh my God.
Because it really taught me the real value of life. And at the time, I didn't have kids. And it really made me appreciate the simple things that people don't even pay attention to every day, like tying their shoes, right? So I started to appreciate the simple things in life.
I'm going to pause for a second because to hear that story and then say someone say that's the best thing that ever happened to me is pretty astonishing.
Well, it's a life lesson.
Fuquan and his girlfriend decided to get married and start building a family. The aftermath of the shooting also changed how he did business.
I kind of went into a shell after that. I couldn't trust anybody around me. So I disconnected from my business partner and started my own venture and started to go off on my own.
The company did exactly what Fuquan was doing before, but this time he owned 100% of it. Though he'd still be flipping homes, he wanted to do things differently from his cousin.
And then started to focus on business from there. And how can I structure the business where it was a lifestyle business and I really wasn't killing myself, so to speak. And that's when the light bulb went off. Hey, if you build your own construction team, you can control more cost. And that way you can do less and still make more profit and still have a quality life.
Luckily, he had a large client list from working at his cousin's company and running the seminars for so long. And by the end of his first year, he had a portfolio of 30 properties that he had flipped and sold. He reinvested any profit he made right back into the business.
I was hungry. I had something to prove. I had life. I knew the meaning and value of life. And I knew that I had a purpose. And in fact, I did more deals that year than I did the year previously.
The real estate market continued to boom.
It started to develop fast because I had a lot of people in my network who were looking for houses. I had a lot of people who wanted to sell me houses. I had lenders who wanted to loan me money, so I started to put all those pieces to the puzzle together, and that's where my business really started to accelerate.
He also took the opportunity to diversify the business.
I had a transportation business. I had a hair studio with 25 chairs. So I was using real estate to kind of fund other businesses. I had a car wash, all these businesses at the same time.
but the majority of what he did and his passion was still real estate. By the end of that first year of setting out on his own, he was a millionaire. Things were great, but he wondered if it was all too good to be true.
It was unbelievable. It was mind-blowing for me because where I came from and where I was at the time, it was almost like a dream. But it was scary too at the time because you would see people just getting into business and taking off. And I was like, okay, this is too easy. And when I would speak to the loan officers, they would tell me, hey, they got stated programs out. People just need to state how much they make and they qualify. And I was like, well, they don't do like income verification. They don't do any of that. It's not, they just fill out the information, how much they make. Something is not right.
Unfortunately, Fuquan's instincts were right.
I left the salon and I came home and me and my wife actually was in our room and she had the news on and she was like, oh my God, do you see what's happening in the market? This is crazy. Brokers were calling me saying, hey, the deal is not going to close. The bank pulled out. I'm going to switch it to another bank. I think I can make it happen. Then 2 days later, this bank pulled out. And I'm like, what is going on? Things started to tighten up, but I was sitting on a lot of inventory. And then overnight, boom, the lights just went out just like that. And then everything just froze. It started to be a downward spiral from there.
The global financial crisis. Now, most of you will remember it well, but just in case you don't for some reason, in 2008, the entire housing market went under and financial markets were in upheaval.
I was like the rug got pulled from under my feet. The banks stopped lending. I had deals literally at the closing table lined up to close and all the funding got pulled. And during that time, I was just flipping properties. I had no cash flow. It was just buy, fix, sell. So I had no income coming in from rental properties. So when they stopped funding the closing, my business was on standstill.
So and you got stuck with these properties that were sort of mid-renovation?
Absolutely. And then values dropped 50%.
Of the 12 properties Fuquan's company had in closing, 9 of them fell through. Fuquan owed his lenders money for every property he was renovating. He sold off all of his other businesses, the car wash and the transportation company, to fund those properties. And still, it wasn't enough.
You took all the losses.
$2 million.
Of your own money out the door.
Absolutely.
His accountant advised him to file for bankruptcy.
I said, I'm not going to do that because I had some investors that are still with me today that believed and said, well, we have our money from our IRA, our retirement, you know what's happening. While everyone else was not paying, I stood tall, fire sold the properties, paid them back, and I took the loss.
Ben, wow. Fuquan loses $2 million of his own money and still decides to go against his accountant's advice and not declare bankruptcy. I think that was a really bold decision.
Yeah, I suppose it was bold, but it's easy to say that now. You know, everything looks good in hindsight, but it must have been terrifying at the time.
I want to make sure that we circle back to this part of the conversation because this is something that so many business owners have to think about. You know, they might disagree with how Fuquan handled it, but I want to make sure we talk about this later. It's way too important to miss. But take me back to the story.
Like for so many others, Fuquan had to completely change his way of life after the crash. He sold his single-family home and moved into one of the apartments his company had been renting out with his 2 young sons.
So I moved from a 5-bedroom, 4-bathroom house to a 2-bedroom, 1-bathroom apartment. So I did what I had to do to cut my expenses down to survive through it, you know, for a couple of years.
At any point along this series of woes, did you think about giving up?
No, because for me, it was, I fight better with blood in my mouth, right? I grew up through adversity. So growing up through that was really made me who I am today. So going through that, especially after getting shot, right? You get shot 5 times and you still live. It's like, okay, what's next?
What's next was, well, a lot of thinking. You see, the real estate market would be frozen for a few years, and Fuquan was now divorced. His entire life and his business had to pivot.
I remember sitting on my bed, watching the ceiling fan swing around, like, you know, what am I going to do? Because real estate was my identity. And that's all I knew. I didn't know anything else. And that time was really quiet time for me, and it was time for me to go within. During that time, I learned the only way that my business is going to grow is when I grow.
Amazingly enough, just like getting shot, Fuquan considers the global financial crisis to be one of the best things that ever happened to him.
That was the second pivotal moment in my life that I look at that as something that was a blessing that happened as well, because at the time I worshiped money. I was a slave to it, and I thought that was the value. So until you learn when you don't have it, where the real value is, I learned that the true wealth that was within and the real value was in family. I spent a lot more time with my kids. becoming the best father I can be. And that's what really built a stronger foundation. So this helped me see that you can get to the other side. You may have to jump through a couple of hoops with fire, but the other side is there waiting for you if you're persistent.
But the housing market wouldn't be recovering anytime soon, so he had to pivot once again. He learned about short sales, the process of buying foreclosed homes for less than the value remaining on the mortgage. Fuquan found himself a mentor who could teach him the trade. He decided to shift his business completely towards short sales. It became so successful that he started running seminars again to build an investor base.
Before, I was teaching people in the front part, hey, this is how you buy a house, this is how you qualify, this is what you do, this is how you get tenants. Now I'm telling people, this is how you buy debt. You guys don't know about the debt business. Let me teach you about the debt business. You don't have to deal with no tenants, tallers, trash, termites. You don't have to deal with any of that. You can help homeowners stay in the house. You buy debt at a discount, and this is how it works.
And in 2013, Fuquan decided to start NNG, the National Note Group.
And I said, I'm going to create a vehicle where I can raise capital, buy notes direct from the bank, sell some off to people who want to buy them, and work some out myself to make a great return.
4 years into the business, Fuquan decided it was time to diversify again. So NNG started to do fix and flips again. Beyond that...
And then in 2019, we started to do rentals. So now we have income from rentals, we have income from fix and flips, and we have income from the note business. So those three different verticals help us stay afloat, help us navigate the narrows, help us continue to be able to pivot. So for example, if foreclosure happens again, the note business would be booming because banks would be selling debt, right? If fix and flips slow down because interest rates are high, we have revenue coming in for multifamilies. Rent is not going down. Rent is really expensive. Rent keeps increasing, right? So we have those three different verticals, and that keeps us afloat in today's markets.
With NNG up and running, Fuquan could return to doing something that was at the heart of his business all along, giving back.
So we raise capital from accredited investors, and then we take that capital and we invest into our impact projects. So in the Southeast, in Alabama and Georgia, we invest into a lot of the multifamily apartment complexes, and we keep 30% of those communities with subsidized rents, whether it's Section 8, bad women and children, seniors who can't afford rent bumps.
For anyone listening who thinks you have to work all the time to win big, take this lesson from Fuquan. His focus on himself and his quality of life has paid back big time for his business. And today, he's doing more than ever before. The NNG Capital Fund owns 1,200 properties with a goal of getting to 5,000 in the not-too-distant future. They've moved way beyond New Jersey and are now working on projects in Georgia and Alabama, too. And giving back to the communities they develop is still at the very heart of their business.
When you run a business, it helps to have a full-service banking solution that has products, tools, and resources designed with your growth in mind. That's what you'll get when you switch to Chase for Business. As a new customer, you'll even get rewarded with a special bonus. Choose Chase, and you'll receive the personal attention you deserve, along with a large-scale presence, including 4,700 local branches and 15,000 ATMs. Plus, you can enjoy innovations like the Chase mobile app, which lets you do your banking on your phone. There are so many easy ways to get the guidance and tools you need to grow with Chase. You can meet with a banker in person, use the online support center, or find helpful information in the Resource Center. And Chase Business Complete Banking offers built-in card acceptance, a wide range of options for accepting payments and making deposits. So switch today at chase.com/choosechase and get rewarded with a special bonus. This account has a monthly service fee that can be reduced from $15 to $0. Chase Mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. Deposit and credit card products provided by JPMorgan Chase Bank, N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2024 JPMorgan Chase & Company.
That is such an inspiring story.
Yeah, that one had a lot of ups and downs. I mean, he has really ridden a roller coaster.
Yeah, he really has. And there's so much we can talk about here, and I'm excited about jumping into it.
But let's start with Fuquan's decision to not file for bankruptcy.
You know, like everything else, there are benefits and drawbacks, but Fuquan took a very long-term approach, all right? He was an entrepreneurial guy. It was not going to be a good look for him to bail on the people who invested in his business and invested in him, for him to just simply say, I need to file bankruptcy. And by the way, forget about your money. And I think it's important that business owners do take a long-term approach because You essentially have to weigh the benefits of getting your debt extinguished versus the long-term consequences of possibly not being able to get financing again for another several years.
I would go a step further, Tanya. He didn't just take a long-term approach. He took a principled approach.
True.
I think they were equally important. Now, that doesn't mean it's always wrong to file for bankruptcy. There are situations where it's appropriate. Don't get me wrong. But for him, I think it was equally about his long-term reputation and his principles. And he put those both to work and he came out exactly where he was meant to.
Yeah. And you make a good point. Like, I'm not anti-bankruptcy. I'm just think it through and it better really make damn good sense approach. That's what I'm about.
Yeah. The bankruptcy code exists for a reason. And part of the reason that it exists is to encourage risk-taking so that lenders and borrowers have a common framework for when things go wrong. Because if they don't, then it will make lenders more hesitant to lend and borrowers more hesitant to borrow it. So it exists for a reason, but it exists as a last resort.
Right.
And as long as the bankruptcy is on your record, it's going to be very tough to get credit. You're typically only going to be able to credit, if at all, from alternative lending sources. Those tend to be very expensive and the terms can be onerous. One thing I always remind people is in small business, it's not just business credit, it's business and personal credit.
Indeed.
Small business debt in almost all cases requires a personal guarantee, which means it's not just reflecting on the business's credit, it's reflecting on you as an individual. So it can affect your ability to buy a house or buy a car or take student loans or any other kind of credit that you might want to use to finance your life. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't do it, but it means you need to go in eyes open. And so business and personal credit are kind of the same thing in the small business space. And that's why it's important to consider that when you use debt as a tool.
I'm so glad you brought that up, Ben, because there are so many business owners and aspiring business owners who come to me and don't realize how integrally tied their personal finances are to their business credit. And they think that just because, you know, a certain contract or a certain obligation is put into the business's name, that it is not going to matter as much what their personal situation is. And they even think that, you know, those who have been in business for a while and have, you know, substantial, very successful, well-performing businesses, they don't realize that they're still, even at the multiple million dollars in revenue level, they're still tied to that small business. I try to express to people that their business has to be so extraordinary for their personal assets and their personal credit to be completely separated from their business.
That's right. I mean, that only happens when it is truly a professionally run business where the owner could leave tomorrow and it kind of wouldn't matter, because it exists as an entity unto itself, and then you can do entity financing. But that typically comes much, much later. That said, we've worked with lots of businesses who have used credit in really smart ways, in ways that kept them from having to take equity financing and dilute their ownership in the company. So debt financing absolutely has a place in the capital stack. It absolutely has a place as one of the sources of growth capital. And every entrepreneur has to evaluate which one is right for them and evaluate the trade-offs that you have to make between them.
I like debt financing on a small business level, especially because so many people do want to maintain control. And we know that a lot comes with getting other people's money if it's an equity position, right? And so those entrepreneurs who are saying, I really would like to maintain control, I encourage them to strongly consider getting just traditional financing, because then they can keep the control, but they still get access to the capital.
But all of that comes after putting your own money in. If you don't have a dollar to put in your business, you don't have a business. You need to be working and saving and have some seed money to start it yourself. Because I can tell you that whether you're raising equity financing, debt financing, or anything else, if you won't put a dollar in, why would I put a dollar in?
Exactly. And circling back to Fuquan, that's what he had to do to get what he was trying to get done. He needed to show that he had skin in the game. And, you know, when things didn't go well, his $2 million was on the line. And that's kind of how it goes.
And he stood by it. The other thing that I loved about Fuquan's story is how much his business is tied to his community goals. And what that means from a practical perspective is that the mission of the company is deeply personal, and it's driven by his connection to his community and where he comes from. And so this isn't just about making another buck, although he does well financially. This is about delivering meaningful, lasting change to a community that he feels like is a part of him.
He found a way to pour back into his community while building a sustainable business that served not only him, you know, his own purposes as a business owner, but also the purposes of the community. And goes to show there's so many different ways to do this, right? Because earlier in his story, he did it by hiring people who were, you know, less likely to be hired by others. So that was how he was pouring back into his community and supporting members of his community. When that kind of went badly, he then shifted to doing it through his business. And, it, you know, and I like seeing how people engage in the community in a way that resonates with them, but also is in line with their business.
What I particularly love here, though, and I'm going to share a personal view, is I love purpose-driven capitalism as opposed to just philanthropy, because he wasn't saying, I'm going to make a bunch of money and give it away. He was saying, I'm going to do something that will help my community and make me money at the same time. Because when you do that, everybody wants to do more of it. And I think that's great. So when the purpose of the company is fundamentally to uplift a community and it can do that in a profitable way, it becomes self-sustaining. He even said he keeps 30% of his units for low-income families or people with disabilities, but he's not doing that and losing money. He's doing that and still generating a healthy return for his investors and himself. And that means at that rate, you want to do more of it. And that's great. And you don't have to have a special, hey, can you come do this investment? You won't make your normal money, but we're doing good. No. You're going to make your normal return and we're going to do some good. That's a home run.
It truly is. And people can't help but want to support that. And even further, Ben, he's showing people how it can be done, which is inspiring, right? And I love how he went about doing it.
Yeah, look, and now he's expanding. He's in the Southeast. And so I'm looking forward to seeing where he takes it next.
Oh, yeah. I have no doubt with the way he operates and just the clarity of vision that he has. I have no doubt that he is just going to continue to soar.
Tanya, let's go to the advice Fuquan wanted to share with our listeners. He thinks every business owner needs to ask themselves two questions when starting a business.
What's your value add? What is your impact? Always think of business from that point, because most people think of it, okay, I want to make a lot of money. For what reason? You know, you want to travel, you want to do what, right? What impact are you going to do? Like I explained, my why is providing quality housing. And I wake up out of bed every day and that's the mission, right? So I would definitely say find out a way where you can add value to others, and the reciprocity definitely will come back to you 10 times.
Thanks so much for listening to The Unshakeables. If you like this episode, please rate and review it. It'll help our show find more listeners. On the next episode, we'll be back with a story about a college dropout who started his company the way every great innovator does, by selling stuff out of his dorm room. I'm Ben Walter, and this is The Unshakeables from Chase for Business and iHeart.
The Unshakeables is a production of Ruby Studio from iHeartMedia and Wheelhouse DNA.